I would just say, you know, it says there are 3 minutes, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. Don't just keep rambling on and on, please. There's other people probably who have things that that would be helpful to one another. So testimonial time, we'll just go ahead and open it up. I'll open up in prayer here, and then we'll go to hearing what each other have to say. God and Father, we do thank you for each person in assembly who is represented here. We thank you for the preaching of your word and for the instruction that we can that we gained here today through your servant Mike. We would pray for the various assemblies that are represented. Many have needs, and we pray for each one, each elder, and each concerned brother who's here with us. We pray that we might be helpful and even encouraging to one another in the work that we're doing through this testimonial time, and so we commit it to your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and open it up for anyone who has something to share. And I think I'm going to take my seat, and if I need to kind of direct, I'll do so from there.
I just wanted to bring up at our assembly, we have an excellent set of deacons that really make it, they're doing invaluable work and free up a lot of time for others to be able to prepare for ministry and do things like that. And I think one of the things that can be done is just a real encouragement to the deacons and the raising up of godly deacons, slightly different subject, but other invaluable workers in the assembly that help in just practical ways so that the prayer and the ministry of the word can go forward effectively.
Amen.
And I'm not a deacon, I'm just saying that. Those guys do a great job, and I think they do an excellent job, and it's part of the foundations of an assembly.
I'm just was impressed when Brother Mike shared about what he mentioned the title of that one Bach piece, but the pastoral scene of saints or of sheep just grazing in comfort. You don't have the impression of sheep looking over their shoulders or kind of running away from the fences or whatever. And I just really think that is a great takeaway for the goal of what we'd like to see in the assemblies in each of our churches, each of the Lord's local churches, his churches. And I think oftentimes that's why people can gravitate towards other teaching outside the church, radio teaching or different types of books. And they're all, I think it's good, you know, and like you said, we want to be encouraged to read and so forth. But it's so important to have that that clear, basic teaching and to find ways of doing it. I know we've had open platforms, and some assemblies have, I guess maybe most now have scheduled platforms, but to be able to plan, whether it's open or not, planned teaching where brothers are encouraged to study so that they have that word that you're glad that the visitor came that Sunday, and so that it's a clear teaching. And the saints are so happy, and they're thriving on it, And the more, and it can be varied by different brothers, like you said, not necessarily any man, but utilizing there may be some brother that speaks, his value is there, but not regularly, maybe once a year, twice a year. But there may be others that that should be carrying on for a couple times a month and that type of thing too. So just lots of things, I think, in what Brother Mike was saying, that ways that we can prayerfully work towards that end, to give the sheep, and not to think that, and I love detailed, in-depth study as much as anybody, but I think really the young, the old, to be able to target ministry that people can really clearly have takeaways and say that they were profited and they learned from it. And that should be the bottom line. And you can say after a study, to spend some time maybe going for a walk and praying to the Lord after we've studied, to prayerfully put the messages together in a way that has an impact for the Lord too. There are several takeaways that I had, I think, from today.
You know, as Mike went through things today, describing lots of different roles of an elder, or maybe you'd say jobs of an elder. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And there are innumerable excuses you can come up with for not doing the work. And, you know, one of the things that I've found, believe me, I've come up with a lot of those excuses and used them. And the thing that I've found, though, is that I've never regretted doing the job, but many times I've regretted not doing it.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord blesses us and encourages us. And, you know, we might not think that we have the strength to accomplish something or to do something or to encourage someone. But if we're dependent on Him, He provides, He gives to us what we need, and we just, you know, always have to, you know, it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to remember it's not my work, it's His work, and, you know, to rely on Him is so key.
I think something that's been helpful in our assembly, and I think Mark would agree with me, I have taken some training in biblical counseling. I might mention biblical counseling earlier, and some of our other people have taken training as well. The book that he held up a while back, Addictions by Ann Welch, is one we would use. And, the visitation by the elder to the families is good, but if there's a marriage that's on the rock, it's going to take more than one visit. It's going to take a number of times working with them. So, and the training locations are out there, they're available, and I would encourage you to look into that. Now, we're talking about biblical counseling, not Christian counseling. There's something called Christian counseling out there, which weds psychology and a few Bible verses. Biblical counseling is based on the authority and the sufficiency and the supremacy of the Word of God.
My wife and I moved up to the Kenosha Assembly a little less than 3 years ago. So we're still trying to meet people in the Assembly that we don't really feel we know yet. And we've noticed a common tendency in our life that I think's pretty common for a lot of people, is I'll see somebody that I haven't seen in a long time and the conversation ends up, well, we should get together sometime. But but we never get together. And so my wife and I decided that we would make a list of everybody in our chapel, and we decided we would put the most popular people that we like to talk with the most at the bottom of the list. Some of the harder people to get to know, we have quite a few older people that I'm not sure how long they're going to be with us. So they're at the top of the list. So we've got a list we just made that we want to start visiting with. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we don't, we have good intentions, but we don't write it down. And I think this will help us to refer to the list. Well, who's next? Kind of a thing. I mean, you're not tied to the list, but it's a good starting point, I think, to help us get beyond just good intentions.
Maybe I can just share my experience when I visited Northeast Gospel Chapel originally. I had been saved for a short period of time. Actually, a man that worked in the same company was an elder at Northeast Gospel Chapel the year I got saved. He met with me every week. In the first year, he had me memorize the book of Ephesians. First year I was saved, he met with me every week. I was failing in business. I was in the same business he was. He taught me how to be a good employee. He gave me instruction on how to do better in business. Called me all the time, and he met me every week. And he always, everything he did had a purpose in it to help me grow in the Lord. I was saved on a certain date, and every year he called me on the day that I was saved to remind me I was saved on that day. And I can just go on and on. I don't think we can underestimate I don't know if you want to call it mentoring, personal discipleship. I think it's really just shepherding. And that's what he did. And it wasn't just that he taught me the scriptures. He made me apply them somehow. He encouraged me to apply them. And I look back and I thank God for the Lord bringing him into my life. Many of you might have known Jay. He was not always, he was kind of direct. But another thing that I learned very quick, that if I said something negative about somebody else, that wasn't tolerated ever, which was very interesting too. But I cannot express the effect it for me. I think that if any of us, if you're an elder or not an elder, if you just met with somebody occasionally every week, went through courses with them and did something like this, I just can't help but think it would be awful helpful. You know? And I'm just sharing my own experience. And I look back on that, and I had a good foundation the first couple of years that I came into the assembly. And he always had literature to give me that was applicable to where I was at my stage of growth. As I look back, I can see the things that were given to me progressed as I was progressing under his care. It's just remarkable how he dealt with me, and I'm really thankful.
And that same brother gave four scripture passages for me to memorize when I was a teenager, and I remember them sort of now.
And he was a man of prayer. He used to meet people at 5 in the morning to pray with them.
We have a number of new attendees today, and younger guys. If anybody wants to share even just a little bit of something that was a benefit to you today, that would be helpful. And if you don't want to do it publicly too, we really would like everybody to give their feedback on the back, on a blank piece of paper, and we really value your feedback, and so we'll have extra papers in the back of the programs or something. But if anybody wanted to share now something that made an impact or was helpful today.
Well, I can tell you that Bob looked at me before and said, we got a lot to think about, talk about that. So we'll probably be doing a lot of talking about, particularly visitation and things like that. You know. As I was pondering it, as most of you, energy, time, you know, give you lots of reasons, as Jim pointed out. That's something Bob and I have to talk about, and again, I got to talk to my wife about it because it could mean evenings. When you do visitation, you work all day, and my particular job requires a lot of time, sometimes with people and on the phone. And to be honest with you, the last thing I want to do when I get home is go and emotionally wear myself out talking to somebody at their home. I know the Lord. I know the Lord to give the grace and the strength for that. And I think Jim, you alluded to it, the blessing that comes with that. So that comes with a choice now I've got to think about making. If anything come out of that, you know, yeah. And yeah, so I've got a lot to ponder because that is some of the issue in our assembly is just the Lord give us the strength to do these things. It's just, if I get home and I think, oh, I don't want to do that. I, you know. Yeah, and my incredible prayer. What the gentleman from Kenosha just said about making a schedule or making a list, that's part particularly what we're going to do. It is good to organize yourself and say, okay, and make this commitment. And make that, you know, because it's easy to tell you the words I'm telling you right now.
When Mike mentioned visiting in the hospital, you know, obviously there's some times in people's lives that it's harder to know what to do and when, you know, how to approach somebody. I'm not an elder, but I can only imagine. You know, I still remember what David Gilliland said in the book of Job. You know, we oftentimes think Job's the only one going through the trials, but it was really also a test for the friends as to how to react. They came to supposedly comfort Job. And how did they respond, you know, to Job's trials? Well, it ended up being bad. They ended up having to, you know, repent. But it's just interesting, you know, as an elder, they are to go to the hospital and they're to, you know, to be able to visit with people, you know, when they're going through tough times as well. In fact, that's when people need shepherding and need the elders and just very interesting that that's often the times where we naturally want to shy away or don't know how to react. Maybe we don't want to shy away, you know, just as people, but, you know, we don't know how to react. But that could be a test to us as well. Are we going to act biblically? Are we going to be there for them as the body of Christ, as an elder or not an elder, as the body of Christ? Are we going to be there for one another?
Also actually encourages people like me who is not an elder to empathize with the elders and pray for the elders for their work too. So it's a good, it's a blessing for me to just come and be with them, you know, be with the other elders. And even afternoon prayer time together too was so refreshing. And seeing the struggles that other people are going through, the joys that they have as elders. So it is a blessing.
I appreciated the thoughts on prayer and the time praying, especially with regard to just not getting discouraged, because there's a danger of discouragement sometimes with circumstances and sometimes situations that maybe aren't ideal. We went through a spell a year and a half ago here in Chippewa, and I'm not an elder either, and you know, several times during the prayer time mentioned struggles with not having elders or maybe not having enough elders, and obviously not an ideal situation, but Romans 8:28 comes to mind, as well as many other scriptures where all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And using prayer, communing with God, seeking his face, lifting your eyes up to understand how God can bring good in a situation that's, even in a situation that's not ideal. And I appreciate all the brothers here who have shared, you know, challenges that are, that help others who have similar challenges to relate, and then also the example of looking to the only one who has the answers.
No, I'd add one other thing here. Listening to Nathan and Andy and others, you know, you guys, like you say, I'm not an elder, which obviously is true, and you brought it too. One thing that I would say, and this is to the older brethren as well as the younger, again, being an elder requires sacrifice. And we need to be careful, especially with young families, that our children don't become the sacrifice. You know, that we're not, you know, I mean, even the work of an elder can become Moloch. You know, the people of Israel sacrificed their children to Moloch, right? And we don't want even that work to affect our families. And it's a huge, you know, so these are things that we need to balance. The older, it's great to encourage the younger, but at the same time, let's not push them into a role that affects their families.
And I think the exhortations are hitting us all on so many different levels and areas that, especially for the young, you know, it could be overwhelming. And so I think we need to encourage the younger ones and all of us at any age, just keep serving the Lord to the fullest of your gifts and talents in the areas that God has burdened you with, and don't say, well, I can't do all of this, so therefore I'm not going to do hardly any of it. You know, just do what the Lord has put before you and be faithful in it, and don't be discouraged that it's too much, because the Lord gives the grace.
I just wanted to make a comment about something Mike said about making practical application of the teaching that you're giving. One thing that I found helpful is, and I heard this on a sermon, I think, somewhere, is to get your sermon preparation done plenty of time in advance of when you're going to be speaking, so that the preacher then has time to brood over his message. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an odd comment, but you get the picture of a hen brooding her eggs, right? Sitting there warming them, bringing them to the point where they're eventually going to hatch out. That takes time. You see that? I try to have my message done well in advance, and then I think about it, sometimes for weeks at a time before I preach it. And I'll be driving the car, kind of thinking about what I've studied, And then sometimes I'll be thinking, well, how does this apply? And then you think through the entire, who's in the congregation? How is this going to apply to that person? How is that going to apply to that person over there? How is that going to apply? And then this thought comes to me, I know that if I don't pull the car over, pull out my cell phone and punch my thought in, the thought will escape me. And so I do, okay? I mean, you've got to write it down so that you've got a list of practical applications by the time. And then what happens is your message is now 50% bigger than you originally planned it to be, which is fine. Then now you've got a message and a half, which is, you know, and that becomes, that moves on to the next time that you speak. So I would just encourage that. And the other thing is know your, you mentioned, you know the state of your flocks. You've got to know who's in the audience. You've got to know the people who are there in the assembly. Sometimes, and I'm not talking about our assembly right now. I don't think, generally speaking, this is the case. But sometimes you get the impression that a preacher is trying to impress everybody else with how much he knows. That's not the purpose of preaching. The purpose of preaching is to feed the flock. And, you know, was it Moody or whoever it was who said, you know, God's people are sheep, not giraffes. You know, you got to put the food down there where they can get to it. And what is really the exegetical challenge is taking the deep things of God and making them understandable to the simple. That's your job as a preacher.
Just a thought on, we're adverse to titles. You know, the work of an overseer is a ministry, not elder so-and-so or pastor so-and-so. John the Baptist, his response to the Pharisees was very interesting. I think very instructional. Who are you? Where do you come from? Who do you claim to be? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. He must increase. I must decrease. He was very clearly not claiming to be anyone. They asked him, are you the prophet? No, I'm not. He was, but he didn't claim to be anything. And I think we can fall into a trap as elders. Sometimes people will come and say, are you a counselor? No, I'm not. But we can go to the Word of God to be very clear where we're going and not what we are. It's just to fulfill our work that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just think that's a precaution for us, too, in this day and age where litigation can come. If you're not properly qualified and you talk about sin or you talk about issues, that we're very clear that this is God's word, and I have no license, no professional training. God makes us what we are, so he gets the glory.
I think we probably really need to go to prayer. We've got 20 minutes for prayer, so we'll conclude here at 4:00. I would advise us to consider things that were mentioned in the sharing sessions that didn't have an opportunity to get prayed for. This might be an opportunity to pray for as well.
Father, it's quite clear that we all have many needs. Assemblies have many needs. We're none of us capable of our own strength or power or wisdom to do it. But by your grace, by your mercies, we can. By your power and strength, we can. And we believe that. Your word is clear that your spirit can teach us, your spirit can lead us, your spirit can empower us. We read many times in the Old Testament how you came upon people and empowered them to do the tasks that needed to be done. And we believe you can lead us here. We pray that you would help each of us, whether elder or not. The point is, we're here to serve, to be used by you, and that you might be glorified in all things. We don't think we need to have special training or
seminary teaching or anything. Not that those things are bad. They can improve us, help us. But it's your spirit that leads and teaches. And if we submit ourselves to you and to your power and diligently seek you, diligently love you, and serve you, you can use us. So we ask for your help. Whatever the needs are, whatever special cares are in each assembly, things that are needed there, we ask that you would help and strengthen us and use us. We pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, we just pray for your blessing on Mike Atwood flying all that distance to come on over here to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And Lord, we just thank you for his ministry and the time spent in the Word to deliver these things and share these things with us. And Lord, I want to thank you for every brother here that has come and made sacrifices this weekend to drive here and come here, and that we might be edified and encouraged in your Word, and to be encouraged one another in the faith. And Lord,